All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. P-Sus is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Alaska Man 1165 is on. Snag Dog. Mike Griffith is on. Lady Vu is on. Skunk 71 is on. John Phillips is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. JD Wool is on. Judy Anita is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Hassle Free TV is on. JD Wool is on. Scooter 8887 is on. JD Joy is on. Bill F1 is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Judy Anita is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Sexy Pony is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Mark 1069 is on. Dave Souter is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Stefa Toms is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Sheila K is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Lady Boo is on. Let me see. Arafa 9821 is on. Luann 5 is on. Skunk 71 is on. Todd Suff is on. Scrolling down. This thing's not letting me scroll suddenly. There we go. Now we're fixed. I'm a tech genius. All I did was squeeze it down. I don't know. I just squeezed it down and started working again. All right. Gen 11 Live Free is on. DK Jackson is on. JC360 is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Robin Aroni is on. Mobetta 01 is on. Judy Anita is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Bud Dave is on. Jim Brody is on. Scooting down, scooching down here. K4VMS is on. Let me see anybody I missed. Mulkin Thin is on. Schooling down. Just let me say it to everybody. I hit most of you. I might have missed a couple of you. Glad everybody's on. Let's hop right to this now. Let's go with Kilmar Abrego Garcia. You're like, Tom, can we get past it? I can't. Look at the data. Look at the data on the bottom of this. It's just from about 2 days ago. But this is stuff I didn't know. New York Post or part of a tweet. Deported alleged MS-13 gangbanger Kilmar Abrego Garcia, that for some reason all the Democrats want back into the country, was driving convicted smuggler's car when he was pulled over in Tennessee. Not only was he pulled over with seven illegals in the car, but he was actually driving a convicted smuggler's car, and all the Democrats want him to stay in the country. You actually have at least four Democratic Party congressmen right now lobbying that are actually down in El Salvador or just have returned from El Salvador. The senator went down there. At least one senator went down there to try to get him back. And he was driving. I mean, just think about this. If you were the one making that trip and you come and you're lobbying to get him released out of CICOT, out of the El Salvadorian prison, and you come back and you read this, and there's no repentance. There's no retraction. I mean, if it was me, I would go in public and say, listen, is there any way for me to somehow symbolically remove my head out of my rectum? Is there a way for me to do that? Because if I was stupid enough to travel down there to try to get this guy re-imported into the United States of America as an MS-13 member, and then the news just keeps coming out about how in 2022, this is what this is from. I mean, we have all of the charges. He entered into the country illegally in 2012. He was deported in 2019. You're like, how was he deported? He was legally deported with a withholding order. And the only country he wasn't allowed to be deported to was his home country of El Salvador, because he's part of MS-13 and there's a rival gang in El Salvador that will kill him upon arrival. This is the kind of guy you want to keep in the country, isn't it? Like, who can we pick to stay in the country? Let's pick that guy. So he's actually deported, but there's a withholding order. He's actually deported. He can be deported to any country on the planet except his home country of El Salvador. Well, somehow there was a snafu in the paperwork by the Biden administration. We'll put Guatemala instead of El Salvador. Unbeknownst to the Trump administration, they deported him to CICOT. Well, that's just the way that it goes. I mean, and bring him back so that we can move. The withholding order no longer exists because that gang no longer exists. I mean, the withholding order does exist, but what it was about no longer exists.
Right.
The gang that he was allegedly going to be assassinated by if he returned to El Salvador no longer exists in El Salvador and only exists in Gavin Newsom's California. So again, it's truly amazing to me that any Democrat would advocate for this guy to come back. Simply remove the withholding order right now, because it's going to be removed anyway. There's no justification for him to have a withholding order, because there's a gang in El Salvador that he can't be deported to that no longer exists in El Salvador. The only place that he can't be deported to is California. That's the only place, because that's the only place where this gang that's a threat to him is actually at. It's like the 18th Street gang, something like that. But anyway, so now it turns out he was driving a convicted smuggler's car, which was part of the reason why he was actually rounded up in a task force arrest in 2019. And actually deported. Everyone understands, please, that Abrego Garcia was deported in 2019 with a withholding order. And then some Democrat put Guatemala down instead of El Salvador. So the Trump administration deported him because the only place where there was a withholding order was Guatemala. And now they want him back as an MS-13 member, because remember the dates and times here, because this was in 2019. This, not this right here. This was actually occurring in 2022. But in 2019, he was deported. He illegally entered the country in 2012. 2012 was deported with a withholding order solely for El Salvador in 2019. Beat his wife in 2020. Beat his wife again in 2022, where she's getting injunctions for protection against him. Was pulled over in reference to this in 2022. And he was found with 7 illegals in his car, as if he was an MS-13 member transporting them, which is exactly what he was doing. So this is the guy that the Democrats, they're sending down their politicians to advocate for this guy. I mean, it really, Ossoff's allegedly going to go down there next. All sorts of Democrats, there's 4 down there right now. Trying to advocate to get him. For some reason, they want to re-import him. Imagine being on the side of imagine that. If your party that you are affiliated with, that you voted for, advocates to bring in MS-13 gang members. Oh, it was never proven that he was an MS-13 gang member. In 2022, he was driving, and this was part of an MS-13 sweep. When 19 was part of the sweep, in 2022, remember, he's rounded up in 2019, as part of an MS-13 sweep. In 2022 was when he was transporting 70 illegals in a car for MS-13. And then was somehow, because he was pulled over by, I'm trying to remember exactly, it was Tennessee State Police, was pulled over, and the Biden administration asked for his release. Isn't that weird? It's as if they want to unleash MS-13 into our country so that they can usher in totalitarian control. So I just want to show you that. Let's go to the next one. A lot of stuff on illegals, right? Oh, I got to read you this first. Hold up on that one, Will or Aaron. Insurrection Barbie. This is a tweet, and I really call it an article. Yeah, if you don't follow Insurrection Barbie, you're not following the right people. Insurrection Barbie off of Twitter X. Daily Mail just released explosive information about Abrego Garcia, Kilmar Abrego Garcia. Abrego Garcia was driving with an expired temporary license, and he told the Tennessee State Trooper that the SUV belonged to his boss, Jose Ramon Hernandez Reyes. Can't these people have 2 names? That's all I'm saying. So concerned was the trooper that he suspected Abrego Garcia involved in human trafficking and arrested the 9 men in the car. That's usual. How many times? Let me ask you this question. For the 9,883 people that are watching right now, not to mention the people watching on Christian Television Network, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever had 9 people in your car? I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, maybe if you had one of those Suburbans, maybe you can jam 9 people into that thing. But, I mean, so concerned was the trooper that he suspected Abrego Garcia involved in human trafficking and arrested the 9 men. But due to the guidance from the Biden administration's FBI, Abrego Garcia was released with a warning for driving without a valid license. So he wasn't even arrested for DWLS, driving with license suspended. He wasn't even arrested for that. And it's a more serious offense. It doesn't even say suspended license. My mistake. It's a more serious offense when you're driving with no license. He wasn't even arrested or charged with that. It's as if they want to import MS-13 because they do, because they want to cause mass chaos that causes you to run to the federal government and allows them to usher in totalitarian control. In August of 2020, Hernandez Reyes pled guilty to 4 counts of aiding and abetting the illegal transportation of an alien within the United States and sentenced to 18 months in prison. That's in the same car as Abrego Garcia. How does he get charged with 8 months? And how does he get sentenced to 18 months in prison when he's in the same car with Abrego Garcia and Abrego Garcia gets nothing? So he was clearly a human trafficker and gang member. Who drives around in a car with 9 people? Who? Outside of a school bus driver. Nobody. So he was clearly a human trafficker and gang member. Even the father of his wife's 2 children. By the way, they're always claiming that he's the father of 2. No, he's not. Those aren't his 2 kids. His wonderful wife. I'm not going to say it. It's all flowing. I'm not going to be mean. Don't be mean, Tom. Don't be mean, because there's a lot of things I want to say. But anyway, the father of his wife's 2 children. Remember, because they're always saying he's the father of 2, right, Aaron? Brady Garcia. He's the father of 2.
Maryland
no, not.
Father.
Maryland dad.
Yeah.
You can just remove Maryland dad, because he's a dad of no one that we know of.
Yeah.
So he's married the mother of these 2 children. So he was clearly a human trafficker and gang member. Even the father of his wife's 2 children knew this when he took her to court to change the custody agreement. This angel that the Democrats are all down there fighting for. This angel that they all imagine it being your cause to bring Kilmer Abrego Garcia back into the country. Can you imagine that? And you want to bring him back into the country so something like this happens. Let's go to the next insurrection Barbie video. A twice deported illegal back in the country illegally kills 2 in a car crash. Play it for me.
Yeah, Dana, good morning to you. This illegal alien had a lengthy rap sheet here in California long before he ever killed these 2 California teenagers. He's got several felony convictions on his record, several convictions for driving without a license, but he was still out and about on California's roads. And this young American couple ended up paying the price for that. And now their killer is getting an early release. It was November 2021, a fiery collision on an Orange County freeway. A young couple dead, and the driver who crashed into them, a twice deported illegal alien from Mexico with multiple felonies, in custody for being drunk, high, and speeding at nearly 100 miles per hour.
I get a knock on the door, and there's 2 police officers.
The pain written all over the face of Pavel Osokin as he recalls being told his son Nikolai and his 19-year-old girlfriend Anya Varfolomiev,
there we go. All right. I mean, again, this never happens if we have a closed border, which, by the way, we now have a closed border. And this person was allowed in over and over and over again, which seems to be fine until it's your kids killed in the car crash. We on the right side of politics understand for some reason we're able to actually see more than 2 feet in front of our head. But for some reason, Democrats can't. So when you have illegals driving here, like Kilmer Abrego Garcia, remember when he was arrested, he had no valid driver's license, just like this guy who killed 2 people who are 19 years of age. And you get to see how their parents are dealing with it. And the guy never should have been in the country to begin with. I could talk about this all night. Let's go on. All right, let's talk about climate cabal stuff, shall we, for just a minute, because Al Gore is back in the news. Sadly, we've not moved on from Al Gore. I mean that with all my heart. Sadly, there are still videos of Al Gore because Al Gore just recently spoke. Dr. Jebra Fauci video, climate doomsday guru, which not one, and I have a long list here, and we're going to go over those in just a minute. Not one of his doomsday scenarios has ever actually come true, but yet he's still considered being an expert. Imagine if that applied to you. Would you be considered an expert if you gave your expert opinion over and over again and not one thing was true? How could you be like, you know, Aaron's like a production expert, computer expert, a professional drummer. You know how I know that he is? Because I've seen him year after year after year produce professionally. Like, Will's a professional teacher because he's actually in a classroom teaching children every single day of his life. Al Gore, on the other hand, not one thing he's ever said has ever come true. He's never studied the climate. He's never been a meteorologist. He's never been a scientist. And he violates all of his rules. He says that, you know, you can't have all of these carbon emissions being released into the air as he flies around. Not only does he fly around on a private jet, he flies around on a massive private jet. He spews more carbon into the air in a day than Aaron will in a lifetime, and that is not an exaggeration. In a day, because I guarantee you, he flew to this event in San Francisco from Tennessee on his private jet and then lectures everybody about not releasing excess CO2 into the atmosphere, which, by the way, CO2 is basically nothing but beneficial. Nothing's alive without CO2. But anyway, Dr. Deborah Fauci video. Climate doomsday guru Al Gore, he's back. Those are my own words. Who probably flew to San Francisco on a private jet, gets all fired up talking about Donald Trump. Play for me.
At all, our Constitution, written by our founders, is intended to protect us against a threat identical to Donald Trump. Someone who seeks power at all costs to get more power.
Former Vice President Al Gore came out swinging against President Trump.
Drill, baby, drill.
And his administration's push for the use of fossil fuels Monday at the start of SF Climate Week at San Francisco's Exploratorium.
Anywhere in the world where there is an effort to pass legislation or regulations that reduces the burning of fossil fuels, they are there with their money, with their lobbyists, with their captive politicians, blocking it as best they can.
Gore, who was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2007 for his work on climate change, spoke to this crowd, just like Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi and San Francisco Mayor Daniel Lurie. But it was Gore whose energy seemed to resonate.
Right now, the entire continent of Africa, fastest growing population in the world, has fewer solar panels installed than the single state of Florida in the United States of America. That's a disgrace.
San Francisco's Climate Week includes 1,500 organizations and more than 600 events this week in the city, the largest in all of the United States.
The climate movement is growing right here in San Francisco.
So far, the point of the night just came from producer Aaron. You know, they, you know, he goes, they don't have a single solar panel anywhere. Okay, they also have no running water. Yeah. It reminds me of some of the deals that were given during the Biden economic collapse, where you could work a deal. You'd actually get a call from your electric company when they're about to foreclose on your house for them to put solar panels on your house because you're going. But don't worry, I know you're 8 months behind on your mortgage, but we can put solar panels on your house for you. I mean, again, these people are absolutely incoherent to what is needed in mainstream America and obviously mainstream Africa, because they're not real concerned about solar panels when you have nothing to eat and you've got belly bloat.
Yeah.
But Al Gore's like, I could do my like Al Gore impersonations, but I'm just not going to do it. But anyway, I might slip into one, but I mean, you're so concerned about climate change. You have, and by the way, which of course doesn't exist, that people are dying over there, but your priority is that they have solar panels, and they have less solar panels than they do in the state of Florida. Well, they also have no food. Should we compare the state of Florida to them with food? And by the way, once again, we all know how Al Gore got to San Francisco for that little speech on a private jet that will spew more carbon than Will in his lifetime in one flight and back.
Yeah.
Unless Will decides to fly on private jets, which, by the way, I encourage him to do so. Because I've had a few occasions, 5 or 6 occasions, to fly on a private jet, and every chance I get, I'm flying on one. And now, you know what? Now, just for Al Gore, I'll try to fly on them more often. As often as I... Matter of fact, mark it down here, I'm going to make it a goal that we get a private jet here and that you're the pilot.
Heck yeah.
Aaron's already a pilot in training. So let's go over the Al Gore stuff for just a minute. Or as Rush Limbaugh used to call him, Al Gore. Al Gore, a prominent, this is all from Gronk. Or is it Grok? Grok. From Grok. Yep. I always say Gronk, like the New England tight end. Grok Al Gore, a prominent climate activist, has made several climate-related predictions. You know, again, if I came out and gave a whole bunch of predictions about what was going to happen on planet Earth and not one thing ever happened, wouldn't I lose some credibility?
Yeah.
He seems to lose none. They still think of him as a climate expert, even though not one of his predictions have ever come true. Let's go over them, shall we, real quick? Al Gore, a prominent climate activist, he might be an activist, but he knows nothing about the climate, has made several climate-related predictions, particularly in 2006, in his 2006, 19 years ago, documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, of which not one prediction on that entire documentary came true 19 years later. And subsequent speeches, some of which have been criticized for being inaccurate and exaggerated. Yeah, no kidding. Not one thing he's ever said has ever come true. Below is a summary of key predictions attributed to Gore that have been cited as incorrect or misleading based on available information, along with context to provide balanced perspective. You don't even need it. Not one thing ever happened. All right, so he said the following, that there was going to be the Arctic was going to be ice-free. Get this, Aaron. Get this, Will. By 2013 to 16.
Oh.
There's more ice there now than ever. It's 2000, what year is it? 2025? So it was supposed to be ice-free in 2013, according to Al Gore, as Rush Limbaugh used to call him, combine the names. Here's the claim. In a 2009 speech at the Copenhagen Climate Conference, Gore cited research suggesting a 75% chance that the Arctic's North Polar ice cap could be completely ice-free during summer months within 5 to 7 years. By 14 to 16, he referenced climatologist Wasloff Malosky's work. Reality. So that's the claim. And now the reality coming from Grok. Reality. The Arctic still has significant sea ice in the summer as of 2025. So he's only missed it for 9 straight years now. Not one thing has come true. And he made the prediction in 2009. So 16 years later, not one thing has happened that he predicted. Not one. While Arctic, and people will say, well, you know what? That's because people have decreased their carbon usage. That is an absolute fallacy. It's increased. Like, yeah, but what about all these decreases are just like congressionary budgets. They're not legitimate decreases in spending. They're decreases to increases of spending.
Right.
So they'll say, well, this was scheduled to have a 10% increase, but we're only gonna increase it 9.7%. So they'll tell you that it was a 0.3% decrease in spending. It was a 9.7% increase in spending. That's all that people do. India and China spew more into the climate than the United States could in 100 years. Now, today, this year, massive, giant, over a billion. Remember, just the United States is small. We have way more people than they say. They say we have 320 million. We've got about 350 million. But China has 1.1 billion, and so does India. Mm-hmm. Spewing. They have no climate regulations whatsoever. Yeah, but aren't they part of the Paris Climate Accords? Of course they're part of the Paris Climate Accords, but they don't do what they say they're going to do. And it's been proven. And it's about the United States make sure they follow it. And England makes sure they follow it. Think about it. England has like 60 million people. And we have 350 million, just to do the math. So really, total, we have like 400 million people. We're not even half of China yet. We're basically a third of China because I think China's 1.2 billion. I mean, so we're following these climate restrictions and they're not? Like that makes any impact? All right, so anyway, here's the next one. So the claim, 2009 speech at the Copenhagen conference, Gore cited research suggesting 75%. 75% said the Arctic's North Polar ice cap could be completely ice-free during the summer months by 2016. Is it ice-free now? No. Reality, the Arctic still has significant ice in 2025, while Arctic ice has declined due to warming, which is a fallacy. This is Grok, right, Aaron? Grok.
Yeah, yep.
I always want to say Gronk, but anyway, Grok. Grok is an accumulation of everybody's opinions is what it is, for all intents and purposes. So it's not 100% of what Grok says is correct. While Arctic ice has declined due to warming, that's incorrect, totally incorrect. It did not disappear by the cited timeline. Maslowski himself clarified that Gore misrepresented his findings, stating his models did not predict 75% probability of an ice-free Arctic by 2013. Here's another Al Gore prediction. 20-foot sea level rise in the near future. 20, if the sea level rises 20 feet, we're all dead. It's Noah's Ark. It's over.
Yeah.
And if he really believed it, then why is he spewing more carbon into the atmosphere than 1,000 human beings times 1,000 ever spew? So 20-foot sea level rise in the near future. Claim by Al Gore's movie, The Inconvenient Truth, The Inconvenient Lie, Gore suggested global sea levels could rise by 20 feet in the near future if Greenland and parts of Antarctica melted. He depicted dramatic flooding scenarios such as Manhattan being underwater. Reality, sea level rise has been much slower. Since 1880, global sea levels have risen 8 inches.
Oh my gosh.
8 inches. With 3.8 inches from 1993 to 2021. Per Noah, which Noah, of course, is leftist, so none of that's true either. That's the best lie that they can put out. They can't substantiate any of it, but that's the best lie that they can put out without being humiliated. At current rates, a 20-foot sea rise would take over 1,100 years and will never actually ever happen unless God decided to do it, which he won't because he said he wouldn't, and you need to read the book of Revelation. God does not end things that way. Here's another Gore prediction. Snows of Kilimanjaro disappearing by 2016. It snowed this year there. By like 1,000 feet. I'm exaggerating slightly. I mean, 2016, 9 years ago. Claim in the Inconvenient Truth movie, Gore, imagine naming something the Inconvenient Truth when not one thing you put in the entire movie is true.
Yeah.
Gore stated that within a decade, there would be no more snows on Kilimanjaro. Imagine having the hubris to go out and claim that. As a lawyer from Tennessee, that's what he is. And not a good one either. Implying climate change would eliminate the mountain's ice cap by 2016. Reality, Kilimanjaro still has snow and ice as of today. With significant seasonal snowfall reported at only 93 inches today in November, December at mid altitudes. That's not even high altitude. The ice loss is primarily due to sublimation, ice turning directly to vapor in dry, hot altitude conditions, not melting from warming. That's why you don't see giant amounts of ice on top of Everest. It's because the loss of snow on top of Everest is primarily due to sublimation, ice turning directly to vapor in dry, high altitude conditions, not melting from warming. Point of no return, Al said in 2016. What year is it, Aaron?
2025.
Okay, so we changed nothing since 2020. Matter of fact, China's putting out more CO2 than ever, times 1,000, and so's India, and so's everybody else, because nobody ever actually follows these things. It's just like Biden over there in 2014 working out Burisma deals for his son and Russian oil deals while he's allegedly a climate activist. Point of no return, 2016. So if we don't change things by 2016, we're all going to be dead, but Al Gore's still alive, flying around his private jet. Claim, in an Inconvenient Truth again, Gore warned that unless drastic measures were taken to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 2016, the world would reach a point of no return for climate change. Reality, global carbon emissions rose. They rise every year. But I thought we had all of these climate accords. It doesn't matter. Nobody listens to them and nobody does them because nobody actually believes in them. If anybody actually believed in them, then you'd have these multinational conglomerate corporations that would actually abide by them. If they actually believed in them, they'd actually abide by them. Nobody actually abides by them. Why? If you believe that all the oceanfront property was going to disappear, then why is Hussein Obama buying beachfront property in Maui? If you actually believed it, and his other beachfront property in Martha's Vineyard. I mean, if they actually believe that, why do they all buy beachfront property? Reality, global climate emissions rose from 30 to 30.59 billion tons in 2016 to 37.12 billion tons in 2021. Yet no catastrophic tipping point was reached by 2016. as predicted by Al Gore. Now, if Aaron had predicted that, if Will had predicted that, or if I had predicted that, we'd either come out and give a public apology or crawl into a dark, deep hole. But not Al Gore. He's still out there giving speeches as if anything he says has any measure of validity. Imagine that. Imagine the hubris of a person who not one of their predictions has ever come true. And I mean it. Not one. And yet you're giving speeches as an expert? Here's the... This is the last one. Increased hurricane frequency and intensity. Claim, in an Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore's movie, that was like a blockbuster for the left, Gore linked 2005's Hurricane Katrina to climate change, suggesting warming oceans would lead to more frequent and intense hurricanes. Reality? Hurricane frequency has not significantly increased since 2005, and intensity trends are unclear. NOAA's 2022 analysis found no compelling evidence for a greenhouse gas induced increase in Atlantic hurricane frequency or major hurricane proportion. Another one of his claims was 25% of Florida would be underwater. Claim, a 1982 CBS News report featured a young Al Gore warning that 25% of Florida could end up underwater due to burning coal and oil, implying significant sea level. Now, that's actually perfect because I moved to Florida in 1980, and I live in a beachfront community called Inglewood, Florida. As a matter of fact, all three of us live in beachfront communities, Aaron in Venice, Florida, Will and I in Inglewood, Florida, and nothing has changed. Since I moved here in 1980, Will and I can drive down today to Inglewood Beach, and it's exactly the same as the day Will moved here in 2000 and something, and the day that I moved here in 1980.
Yeah.
Not one thing. Nothing's changed. Not one thing. I can testify to you as an absolute confirmed witness, nothing has changed. The water's not closer to what we call Beach Road. Not one inch. Not one freaking inch. Nothing. So I just want you to know it's all not true. Here's some more. Let's go to the next one, Will. The Telegraph, pick from the Telegraph. Experiments to dim the sun. This is going on. Look at the date. See the date? What is today? The 23rd? Today the 23rd?
Yeah.
Today's 23rd. So this is from yesterday. Look at the date. This is 22nd of April, 2025. And I just read to you all of these things and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. No sea level rises. Nothing. You've seen all the pictures. If you want to, go to Twitter. It's easy. You just go and look for sea level meters. And there's all kinds of pictures from all around the globe where somebody put out a meter where the highest level of the sea rises every day with tidal surge. And nothing's changed since 1800.
Yeah.
The exact same tide level. It was the exact same tide level in 1880 as it is now. They measured it. And if you want to, if you really believe in it, go and do it yourself. I live in a neighborhood where we actually have public access to a river, which is linked to Charlotte Harbor here in Florida. So there's tides coming in and out. I can flat out tell you, it's called the Myock River. I've lived in the Myock River most of my adult life. And Aaron and Will, do you know how much it's come up? None. Zero. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
I lived on the Myock River in 1982. Nothing's changed. It's 2025. If there was a significant problem, wouldn't I have the Myock River in my pool? Because the Myock River literally is 250 yards from my house. My house is a waterfront neighborhood, but my house is not waterfront, except we live on a little lake. But there's a lot of houses that are on the river. It's not moved one inch. I've lived in that house for 22 years. Nothing's changed. Isn't that witness enough? Nothing's changed. I mean, you look at Will, Aaron, and I have now lived in Florida for years. Me the longest because I lived the longest, but... Nothing's changed here. It's exactly the same as it's always been. Yeah. It's not hotter. It's not colder. It's exactly the same. But yet idiots will believe there's change when they don't see any change. Imagine believing in change when there's no change. Imagine that. Imagine being so dim-witted that you believe in change that's not occurring. Anyway. All right. So the Telegraph, experiments to dim the sun. That's a great idea. Anybody ever wonder where all these movies come from? Like the Matrix, because that's where the Matrix came from. It's because all of these people leak it. They're actually part of the Intel committee, Intel community, and then go into the film industry. Aaron, who's the James Bond writer? Ian, whatever.
Ian Fleming.
Ian Fleming. He's part of the intel community. He was an intel officer in Great Britain for years. It wasn't called MI6 then. It was called something else. But anyway, he just went and wrote James Bond movies based on actual things that were going on in what would be MI6. Mm-hmm. Experiments to dim the sun will be approved within weeks. That's great news. Let's dim the sun. Who approved that? Scientists consider, by the way, good luck doing that. God's not going to let you dim the sun. Good luck. Good luck fighting Yahweh. Good luck with that. You think fighting Republicans is difficult? Good luck fighting Yahweh. Good luck. Because nothing's going to change the book of Revelation. You can go up there and dim the sun all you want. Scientists, first of all, you know the success rate will be in dimming the sun? None. All right, but anyway, scientists consider brightening clouds. That's a brilliant idea. This is a brilliant idea. Let's mess with what works. And again, there's absolutely no evidence that there is any climate change. Nothing. There's none. Temperatures haven't gone up. Temperatures haven't gone down. And when they do, it's cyclical. It's always cyclical. Scientists consider brightening clouds to reflect sunshine among ways to prevent runaway climate change. Look at the bottom line. Experiments to dim sunlight to fight global warming will be given the green light by the government within weeks. That's a fantastic idea. Absolute repulsive stupidity. And they'll never be able to accomplish it. And if they do anything and they cause any sort of weather problem, all right, it will be in the negative and hopefully only for Great Britain. Let's look at this. Because Bill Gates has backed the same sort of project before. And everybody already knows that. Let's go back to Tucker Carlson before he was fired from Fox for telling the truth. Illuminati bot video. Bill Gates backs climate, the dimming of the sun's rays on the planet. Play it for me.
Made billions out of creating super clunky corporate software. What you didn't realize is that Bill Gates doesn't think of himself that way. Bill Gates doesn't think of himself as some guy who got super rich making bad software. Bill Gates thinks of himself as God, in control of the solar system. And that's why Bill Gates is now backing something called sun-dimming technology that would reflect sunlight out of the Earth's atmosphere, causing global cooling. Ooh, that's not fraught with risks. You thought gain-of-function research on pathogens was dangerous. Try that. But that doesn't stop Harvard University. Its scientists are testing that technology by spewing calcium carbonate dust into the atmosphere.
Bill Gates is backing the first high-altitude experiment of one radical climate change solution, creating a massive chemical cloud that could cool the Earth. It's called solar geoengineering, and it's highly controversial. It would look something like this. Thousands of planes would fly very high and use nozzles to inject millions of tons of light-reflecting particles into the stratosphere. It would create a thin chemical cloud of those particles around the whole planet, blocking some sunlight from reaching the surface. It would mimic a giant volcanic eruption, which we know cools the Earth.
Now, just to restate, Bill Gates is not God. Bill Gates is some kind of weird, socially awkward rich guy who lives in Seattle. He doesn't own the planet. But he's now changing the planet single-handedly. This is not just over his yard in Seattle. This is over your yard and our oceans and the whole planet. Now, according to Forbes, Frank Kutch, who is the project's top investigator, quote, does not know what the results might bring. I'll just experiment with the globe and find out what happens. It's cool, though. He's a billionaire. Michael.
This was when Tucker was still on Fox, so I'm assuming that some of this has actually gone on. And Aaron explained to me how it actually works. Is that states where you're like here in Florida, and Aaron, just bring, if I get this wrong, jump in. Mm-hmm. But it, states of Florida, obviously controlled by the governor here, DeSantis, we control up to 400 feet of our, basically from ground into the sky, 400 feet. And then it's federal after that, which is absolutely horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. So Billy, I guess, has been at this. I'm assuming, I honestly don't know. I never want to tell you something, but that's not true. I'm assuming nobody has stopped him from doing these things. I've seen other articles about it, but I don't know if he's currently doing this or not. Solar geoengineering. That sounds great coming from Billy. Doesn't it sound great? Everything Billy does works out so well, doesn't it? His vaccines work out really, really well. His gain of function research works out really, really well for everybody. His polio vaccines paralyzed 496,000 kids in India. They work out really, really well, don't they? And yet this guy is continually unleashed by Democratic Party politicians to do whatever the heck he wants to do. And not one thing. And of course, you look at the vaccines alone. the COVID vaccines. He made his billions off of them until they were proven to be so ineffective and deadly, he pulled out. And still runs some political lines and propaganda about them, but he pulled out, made his billions, and then pulled out. And who gives these people these permits? Who gives people like Bill Gates permits to do experimentations over our heads? I would love to know that. All right, let's change subjects for a little bit here. Let's go to the Trump administration. There's a lot of tumult, so to speak, about what's going on in the Justice Department, why nobody's being brought to justice. You'll hear a lot of podcasters, including me last night, me and Aaron last night, rip-roaring into the Trump administration for not prosecuting all of these felons. We could go on and on and on about the various crimes that were committed just over the last 4 years, let alone going into Hillary Clinton and all her destroyed devices and everything else, her obstructions of justice, which the statute of limitations has not run out on, and a myriad of other crimes by Alejandro Mayorkas, the perjuries by Fauci, the perjuries by Burks, and myriad of others as they pop into my mind, Francis Collins, all the various perjuries that were done, the crimes against humanities that were done, the violations of the rules around vaccines that were done, the lies about ivermectin, the lies about monoclonal therapies, all of those different things, hydroxychloroquine, the lies under oath, and a myriad of other crimes that have been committed. But we, in the Trump administration, we expected heads to roll, and no heads have been rolling. But, and that we ripped it last night, and justifiably so, because Aaron, have the heads rolled yet?
Nope.
Okay, so we're gonna, it's our obligation as people of the media to hold the Trump administration accountable. Even though, right now, I'm telling you flat out, Trump's the greatest president we've ever had. I'm telling you, the greatest president we've ever had. Doesn't mean he's perfect. I just think he's the greatest president we've ever had. We amassed a lot of debt because of COVID in his first run. That wasn't his fault. And have you ever seen anybody unleash an Elon Musk on our debt? No, only Trump does it. And you ever seen anybody cut government agencies like this? He's the greatest president in history. Okay, but it's not perfect. And justice, listen, if you don't put these people in prison, here's the thing, we're not going to trump up charges. We're not getting Jack Smith. We're not getting all these leftist judges just to trump up charges, create charges. We're not doing any of those things. These are legitimate charges. And if they're not legitimate, we're not going to charge them. So that we're going to do things right. And if it doesn't work out for us, then we lose. We're okay with that. They rigged the trials with the Jack Smiths and the Tanya Shutkins and everybody else, the judges and the special prosecutors like Jack Smith. They rig it so that they win. They make sure that, if you're Alex Jones, they make sure that they haul you in front of two leftist judges, so it's for sure that he will lose. Same thing happened with Bannon. Same thing happened with Navarro. Same thing happened with General Flynn. Same thing happens with all of them. Trump, same thing happened with him. But anyway, according to Mike Davis, this is Mike Davis on War Room with Steve Bannon, Real America's Voice video, he says there's much more under the surface than we are aware of. And listen, I will tell you this. I will come out. I will do what a Democrat never does. 6 months from now, if none of this has happened, there are no charges, there are no investigations into all of the malfeasance of the Biden administration, and even before that, then I'll come out and say those vaunted three words that nobody else ever says, and that is that I was wrong. But if there's anybody that I trust in the political realm, it's Mike Davis and Steve Bannon. I really do. Because everything that they've said basically has come true. So Mike Davis is behind the scenes, big time player behind the scenes, talking about the confirmation of Neil Gorsuch, confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. He's behind the scenes doing what he does. But he is saying that there are actual investigations, FBI investigations, Cash Patel, Pam Bondi, Dan Bongino. It's actually happening, but we just aren't seeing it yet. Here's the video. Play it for me.
I just had several meetings at the Trump Justice Department. I met with the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, the Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, the acting number three, Chad Mizell, and the incoming number three, Stanley Woodward. And I want to reassure the War Room posse that they are very much on top of what's happening in our country, right? And just because you're not seeing criminal indictments right now does not mean they're not coming. They are very much incoming.
I want you to go back to that team because that's pretty impressive. This is not President Trump's first term Justice Department. Walk through who the players are, starting with Pam.
So Pam Bondi is the Attorney General. She is a rock solid constitutionalist. She's bold. She's fearless. She's not being flashy about what she's doing behind the scenes.
Okay.
She is very much doing things behind the scenes.
We love Pam.
Yes.
Okay, who else?
She's great.
She's great.
Todd Blanche.
Fabulous.
The Deputy Attorney General.
Took the president on as a client when nobody else would touch it.
And just got ostracized for it.
Ostracized.
Now these law firms are scrambling for Todd's blessing.
Yes.
Now, let's just
put
it that way.
Yes.
And, good luck to those law firms, especially law firms like Perkins Coie. Good luck.
So he's the deputy.
He's the Deputy Attorney General. He runs the day-to-day of the department. Chad Mizell is Pam's chief of staff, who's also the acting number three, the acting associate attorney general.
Is he going to stay? He's doing a great job as chief of staff. Is he going to go to be number three
He's staying as chief of staff, which is more important for Chad. It's just more important. Stanley Woodward is going to be the associate attorney general once he gets confirmed.
He's moving from the White House.
He's already there.
Over at DOJ.
Yeah, he's counselor to the AG right now.
And he was Navarro's lawyer.
Yeah, Stanley Woodward's, Walt Nada's.
Yeah.
Stanley Woodward was Walt Nada's attorney, the co-defendant on the presidential records case.
Yeah.
President Trump has a rock-solid team of very good lawyers who are battle-tested, who are loyal to the president and his agenda. They should be.
And the word is from Pam and the team is that, hey, we're not going to screw any of these things up. We don't want to hurry it. Things are happening. Stand by.
Justice is definitely coming. Let me just assure the War Room posse, justice is coming, and there's going to be accountability for this unprecedented Republican-ending lawfare where the Biden Justice Department was politicized and weaponized. There's going to be accountability for a lot of these crimes. It takes time to build these crimes. Cash Patel is there. He's doing a hell of a good job. So is Dan Bongino, his deputy.
Okay.
Justice is coming. So just because we don't see it publicly does not mean it's not happening. I know it's happening.
And that's a viable argument. It really is, because if you don't see it publicly, that could mean there's lots of investigations behind the scenes. But that can also be camouflage, where they tell you that they're working on things and they tell you that it's all behind the scenes because it's all top secret, it's all classified, and then they use that as an excuse to do absolutely freaking nothing. Listen, if there's anybody that I would trust in politics, it's Dan Bongino. Seriously. Is there anybody that I would trust in politics to be Mike Davis? Is there anybody that I would trust in politics? It would be Cash Patel. But so far, nothing. So far, nothing. And if there's anybody that I even trust above them, it'd be Mike Davis. Because Mike Davis is in the very interworkings of the D.C. justice system, getting justices confirmed and everything else. But anyway, he says the justice is coming. If there's anybody that I would believe, I'm not saying that I lock, stock, and barrel believe it, because it's still what Mike Davis has been told. Mike Davis is telling you the truth. He's telling you the truth according to what he has been told by Cash Patel, by Pam Bondi, by Dan Bongino, that justice is coming. I don't want the kind of justice the Democrats issue onto Republicans. I want legit justice. I don't want people convicted of crimes that there is no crime, like they do to us. Where you have Donald Trump convicted on, 34 felony counts in the state of New York, and not one of them is a felony? I don't have a lot of time to deep dive into that, but then not one of them is a felony unless it's actually connected to a federal crime and the feds refuse to prosecute it, so there's nothing that can be a federal crime in those 34 felony convictions. Because there is no felony in the state statutes. You're like, Tom, then how is he convicted? Because they can do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want, and there's nothing that you and I can do about it. I mean, the only thing that you and I can do, I'm thinking about symbolically speaking, there's nothing that you and I can do about it. If Trump can't do anything about it, and if he wouldn't have won the presidency, where would he be right now? Could he be in Rikers Island? Think about it. I mean, that's because obviously you can't put a president in Rikers Island, but that's the thing. So, I mean, Yeah, we'll see. I'm not going to, obviously, I'm not going lock, stock, and barrel saying that there's going to be a whole bunch of convictions in the next whatever months. But if anybody is accurate, it's Mike Davis. I mean, if anybody, and Bannon. And Bannon, the day before, was ripping the Trump administration about how nobody is being charged with crimes in the Biden administration. And I'll try to think of them as we go. There's just so many crimes. If you go NIH, whether it's Fauci, you know, Collins, Burks, there's the myriad. I mean, Merrick Garland and his lies. I mean, all of the perjury, the felonious perjury alone. And there's obviously myriads of other crimes, and there's crimes that occurred to Donald Trump against Donald Trump in his first administration. That there's no statute of limitations has run out yet. Those need to be prosecuted too. And you're like, well, can't we let bygones? I know nobody's thinking that in this podcast audience, but a lot of people are like, can't we let bygones be bygones? Let the past be in the past. Well, not unless you want the past to repeat itself. If you want the past to repeat itself, then let the past be in the past. Because unless you give Democrats the syrup of Ipecac, you make them swallow their own medicine, they're going to come over and over and over. Trump was facing 34 freaking years. And I mean, not 34 years, 34 felony counts he was convicted on in the state of New York. How do you have 34 counts with one cash transaction? And the cash, remember what the cash transaction was? I don't remember the dollar amount now, but it was to his own attorney. And again, the person that was actually having an affair with Stormy Daniels was the attorney. It was actually Trump's attorney that was having the affair with Stormy Daniels and secured like $120,000 or something like that for Stormy. I can't remember the dollar amount now. So $120,000, I believe. But it was his own attorney that was having the affair with Stormy Daniels. And they're like, well, you can't prove Donald Trump. Never. I can't. But even if he did have an affair with Stormy Daniels, how does he get convicted? How does he get convicted on campaign finance violations when it wasn't his campaign? It wasn't donated from his campaign finances. It was his own personal money. The reason why is because you have a Democratic Party governor, a Democratic Party state attorney, a Democratic Party prosecuting attorney, and they just do whatever they want. And of course, a Democratic Party jury. You're like, there has to be some stopgap measure. There is. The Supreme Court, that's it. That's why there's a lot of innocent people in prison. A lot of political prison. I mean, think about all the people that have been put in prison. Steve Bannon was put in prison. Peter Navarro was put in prison. You have Donald Trump was facing 34 convictions in this Stormy Daniels case. He paid Stormy Daniels out of his personal finances. It wasn't paid out of campaign finances. How could he even be convicted of that? And I could spend all night on Stormy Daniels. I'm not going to do it. But anyway, all right, let's go to the next one. And where are we at, Will? Benny Johnson tweet. All right, breaking. Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, has referred intel officials to DOJ for prosecution for leaking classified information. Now, this is what Mike Davis is talking about. It's coming. According to Mike Davis, if anybody that I believe, it's Mike Davis, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino. Pam Bondi, I don't know as well, but those guys I've listened to for years. I'm talking about years. Not really listening to Kash Patel, but Bongino for years, and Mike Davis on the War Room for years. DNI Gabbard refers intel officials to DOJ for prosecution over alleged leaks of classified information. So this is what Mike Davis is at least potentially talking about. And this, again, this is not going to Merrick Garland. This is going to Pam Bondi. So this will get an honest assessment because Pam Bondi is not going to perjure herself like Merrick Garland. She's not going to, which by the way, we need the Biden testimonies all released now from Pam Bondi. The various testimonies that Biden had to give over Hunter. Remember, because he was actually found by the special prosecutor that he was actually guilty of all the crimes that they were accusing him of, but felt like he was too old to prosecute. Remember that? Imagine that being an exemption. Now, we need to see. Now, this should all be released. Why has it not already been released? There's nothing that stops it from being released. Nothing at all. Release it. Release it to the public. I want, they're all either taped interviews or videotaped interviews with Joe Biden. I would like to see all of them and watch him perjure himself, because that, you know, that's what they were saying, is that he absolutely perjured himself over and over again. But you know what? He's old and he's not going to be president for much longer. But he could have been reelected. But when they made that decision, he hadn't dropped out of the race yet. All right, let's go to the next one. Wherever we are, I've lost place where I'm at. All right, there, okay, there, thank you. And wokeness video. Democrats flew here, changing now, changing subjects. So Democrats flew all the way to an ICE facility to visit Mahmoud Khalil. Here's Democrats actually flying all the way. I can't remember what states. It's actually in the states. Can't remember which one. Maybe Arizona. I don't remember. But they all flew to visit ICE facility with Mahmoud Khalil. Play for me. So this is the person obviously on the verge of being deported because he's a Muslim activist inside of the United States and orchestrated violent protests. So he's had his visa removed from him and he's sitting in a deportation facility or on the verge of, you know, a deportation facility on the verge of being deported, as he should be. Why is this even a question? If you're going to come, remember this was all the anti-Jewish protests on the campuses. And again, you can have your stances on Israel, you can have your stances on various countries, whatever else, but if you are orchestrating violence, this is the place where Jewish students couldn't go to class. You stand wherever you want on Israel. I'm pro-Israel. I'm just saying, I'm not blindly pro-Israel. I'm pro-Israel on a case-by-case basis. I don't believe everything Israel says because they are patently corrupt, yeah. Just like we are, by the way.
Yeah.
Until you actually put a non-corrupt president like Trump in office. So an outsider, obviously. But this is a guy who's orchestrating anti-American Israeli, or students, either they are either American Israelis, like, you know, I'm American Irish, whatever, American Israelis, or Israeli students orchestrating protests on these campuses, and not just orchestrating protests. They're preventing Jewish students from getting to class and committing crimes. If you prevent somebody's free movement, that is a crime. And that's why Mahmoud Khalil is getting booted out of the country. Why would we keep somebody in the country that won't allow Americans to move freely? Think about how stupid that is. I mean, how absolutely ridiculous that is, that we're going to keep somebody in the country who is a legal, I don't know if it's not a legal migrant, but he's here legally on a passport, but prevents American students from getting to class. And there was crimes in this batteries, people hitting each other, whatever else in these various protests. And imagine being Iona Presley, as you saw in that video, going and advocating for this person to stay. When he orchestrated violent protests on American campuses, and he's not even, and by the way, again, he's not an American. He orchestrates violent protests on American campuses while he's here as an immigrant. And he's not even an immigrant. He's just here on a student visa. Here's another good video. This is from this kosher video. Holy S, Piers Morgan just made a tremendous point on Mahmoud Khalil and Columbia. Play it for me.
I'm okay with that.
All right, what if I was a young student at Columbia, they're on a green card, British, come in, happy to be here, do all my paperwork, get to Columbia, and I start leading a group which is a bunch of white supremacists, and we start terrorizing black students in the way that they're terrorizing Jewish students. Well, hang on. In that circumstance, would we all be as comfortable with this, or is it the reality which was exposed by the mobs at Columbia, which is that for some reason Jews get treated differently to anybody else when it comes to this kind of thing? Because if that had been, honestly, correct, white supremacists treating black students like that, they would be out the country in 10 minutes.
You know,
that is completely true.
What about if he had said all this at his green card interview? Would he have got a green card? No. If he said, I support a prescribed terror group in the United States, you're not coming in on a green card. All Marco Rubio is doing, it seems to me, is taking it back to that scenario and saying, well, if you'd been honest then, and by the way, he was dishonest One is green card application about other stuff, which is another part of the equation, which might in itself disqualify him from staying in the country. But the idea that he would have said, I support Hamas, I support a global intifada, I support the destruction of Western civilization, now give me a green card to come and live in America, f*** off.
Yeah. All right, I'll end it there.
There you go. I mean, that's just a good summation of exactly why Mahmoud Khalil, name alone, he needs to be deported. Goodbye. Get out. He's orchestrating. I mean, you're like, Tom, that's mean. That sounds like, anti-Muslim. Listen, overall, I'm not saying, I mean, I'm anti the Muslim religion, not Muslim people. But I mean, absolutely anti-Muslim religion because it's a religion of violence. Read the Quran. You either have to subjugate all other religions or kill them. Is that Christianity? No. We don't try to subjugate other religions. And we certainly don't kill people who subscribe to other religions. We don't. We try to win them to Christianity, but we don't kill other religions. That's part of the Quran. That's part of what Muhammad told the followers of Islam to do. And that's why Mahmoud Khalil is doing what he's doing with violence. When you're not allowing American Jewish students, and thereby, by the way, how do you delineate between the two? How do you delineate between if you put all of us in a room right now, if you had Will and Aaron, myself, and you didn't know who we were, who is the Jew? So they're just blocking students from getting to class, and Mahmoud Khalil, a foreigner on a visa, is orchestrating it. Obviously, that's automatic deportation. Imagine being on the side of not deporting them. All right, let's go to the next one. Adam Hughes video. Terror, Palestinian sympathizers have taken, this is yesterday, have taken over Yale. Send in the National Guard. Play for me.
Be silent, three. Stop the violence now, one. We are the people, two. We won't be.
And here's another, there's not a whole lot to say about that video, except there we are once again. Palestinian sympathizers have taken over Yale. So you can't just freely walk through there. And that's some of the protests that Mahmoud Khalil, when you're blocking Jewish students, which by the way, they weren't just blocking Jewish students, they're blocking many other students from going to class. Same thing now is happening here. The exact same thing is happening right here. All this agenda, right? I mean, this agenda is antithetical to American values. It's breaking America. You're allowed to have freedom of movement. Students have paid for the right to be on that campus. They are allowed to have freedom of movement according to the Constitution of the United States of America. And Palestinian protesters, Muslim protesters, are preventing them from free movement. Look at this one, Wall Street Apes video. Muslim community patrols are driving through New York neighborhoods. Just reminding you, this is still going on. Play it for me.
They're alarmed after seeing Muslim community patrols driving through their neighborhoods in what looked like police squad cars. One America's Pearson Sharp has the details.
New Yorkers say they're shocked after seeing Muslim patrol cars roaming their neighborhoods like police squads. These Muslim community patrols just began operating in Brooklyn this year, with members dressed like police officers and driving cars identical to police squad cars. Even other Muslims have raised questions about the need for the patrols, with residents expressing fears this is just another form of Sharia law enforcement in the area. Others denounce residents for drinking, claiming this is a Muslim area and alcohol is not permitted.
Just imagine if you changed that to CCP, Christian Community Patrols. Just, I mean, imagine the uproar from the left. But the left says nothing. And who's the greater threat? Imagine that, even the left and even Muslims were complaining about this, but not many. There's no outcry from the left. That you actually have a Muslim community patrol. Imagine an evangelical Christian community patrol. That's not allowed, but a Muslim community patrol is allowed. That's not problematic. To Eric Adams, that's not problematic. To Governor Hochul, that you have a religious community patrol. What about a Christian community patrol? Imagine the outcry. Because most of the people that are watching this right now are Christians. If we had a Christian community patrol in any neighborhood in this country, let alone the largest city in this country, New York City, where you actually have a Muslim community patrol, and the cars look identical to NYPD, except they say MCP on them. But otherwise, identical, and are sponsored by NYPD, a Muslim community patrol. And to my knowledge, that's still going on right now. I can't remember for sure if I saw whether it was stopped or not, but I can't imagine Eric Adams actually having the courage to put an end to that. All right, that's good for tonight. 10-13, that's not bad. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. Nude Monk, $20. Mike Griffith, $10. Naz Yeager, $5. Peace Us, $5. Appreciate you guys so much. Love you. Listen, stick around for the post game. It is awesome, as usual. Love you guys. Be back here tomorrow night, as usual, at 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively Podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.